It's time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello, and welcome to the second funniest podcast. This is episode number 349. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the early adopter, the KevinMiller.com. You know what, Kevin? I've been doing it for a couple years now. Jump and press the circle button, my good friend.
Yeah, I hit record while I'm in the bathroom.
It's going to be a weird episode, I can tell already.
Why? Well, why not? We're closing out the year weird.
I don't think I've ever been peeing when an episode started before.
Well, that's what we do. This is an episode we get edgy. You know what I mean? We're not so disrespectful to the listener that you take the microphone in there, number one, because we don't have a cord long enough.
That could have been really cool.
But, that's what we do. We're like, listen, we're going to do shows. We're going to do them, and we're going to make them happen, and then they're going to come to you, and you're going to download them. That's what we try to do. We give 110% every single time. That's what we're trying to do here, and that's kind of angle we're playing, and that's what we're looking for.
Are we starting over, or are you just vamping for no vamping reason?
Well, you look like you were looking for something.
I was trying to find something to
go
play.
To an email.
How about this?
How about
this
what? Nice. A little...
It's about that time of year.
Oh, yeah. It's past it.
No, it's not. It's
Isn't this the one from the Thanksgiving one?
No, this is Christmas. Do you know what Christmas is?
The Charlie Brown one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's no Thanksgiving Charlie Brown. Is there?
Isn't there?
Where they go and find, like, the great turkey.
Damn it. That's funny.
The Easter one is very funny. It's a little unknown, and they actually take pot shots at Christmas during Easter. Like, they go to the mall. It's so funny. They go to the mall, and they're riding an escalator. And in the mall is Christmas music, and they're like, they're already ready for Christmas here. It's Easter.
People got mad at me because the weekend after Thanksgiving, because I'm working every week.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And we went and got a real Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Because Natalie's never had one. She's always had a fake one as a kid. And so I come carrying the Christmas tree, and they're like, you already are getting a Christmas tree? It was the first time I've ever wanted to just say F you to a random stranger.
Yeah.
Like, what do you care what I do? Like,
that's not unusual. Like, the day after
and maybe
Christmas.
Maybe I'm Mr. Damn Christmas. Okay.
The day after Thanksgiving is fair game for Christmas.
Maybe I'm Jewish and I don't celebrate Thanksgiving,
exactly.
So I'm like, I'm going to celebrate Christmas. That's the real winter holiday for me.
Bam!
I don't need you and your anti-Semitic Thanksgiving and turkey. All right? You think I'm not offended by the fact that you forced me to eat ham? I don't know what that means. I should also admit that I don't know a lot about the Jewish religion, and I'm not Jewish. Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
I worked at Disneyland. I hear that you do. Are there mashed potatoes at Disneyland? This comes to us from Daniel.
Thanks, Daniel. I don't understand the question. Are there mashed potatoes at Disneyland for employees, or are there mashed potatoes available for guests?
You know what? We have a full hour, so let's go ahead and cover both. Let's give that 110% we talked about.
Okay.
And let's go this, either or.
This episode will be called Anything But Mashed Potatoes.
What if your answer was no?
Yeah, exactly. The answer actually is yes to both. Like, you can get mashed potatoes in a number of restaurants. And anything they serve in the park are available to the employees backstage.
Remember last week? It was all but 7 days ago that we were complaining about how there's a lot of stuff in video games that we don't need. And then we put that in there in the show.
It's
we don't
great.
Need that. We don't need that argument. We don't need debate.
It's great.
Yeah. No, there aren't any more. Wait, oh, yes. I'm sorry.
No, it's bad. I'm on board with you.
All right. I love you.
I'm not sure what's happening.
I also felt like I kind of bypassed Steven's question a little bit in that.
Which one? Last week?
Where he said, how do I find time? And I know we put it at the end, but I want to... Like I just do it, but and I agree with him. Like, it is that thing where it's like, yeah, you got to see, like, okay, I'm going to give up some sleep,
yeah,
so that I could do this and check out.
I do is I've moved the PlayStation or the Xbox and my HDTV into the bedroom with us, so my wife can fall asleep because she's
thinks
up in
you're having quality time.
And well, she loves it because then we're in bed. She's like, she just likes to be in bed. She doesn't mind that we're reading or whatever, watching TV. But then I sit there and she just falls asleep. She feels comforted and loved. She's going to sleep, so it's not like we need to sit there and talk. And then Batman lulls her to sleep as I try to escape from Arkham Asylum. She has nightmares about Scarecrow, doesn't even know what they mean.
I will tell you this, Steven. I'm sure you might be aware of it, but while that kid is only 9 months old, live up those naps. I don't know if you're a stay-at-home dad or what your story is, but... man, is it awesome when they're napping like that. I had a week of just the baby, and oh, it was so great. I could play video games every 2 hours. It was outstanding.
How long would you play for?
2 hours while he napped. It was awesome.
The whole time, and then yeah. when he woke up.
Outstanding stuff.
This is the alternate take one.
Oh, well, that's good. We got all the options.
For the rest of the night.
So I brought up Disneyland, too, because I think you had an idea of talking about Connect Disneyland.
Yeah, I have.
Right?
Okay, yeah, we can start there. But let's
do something else?
Let's jump back. Let me say this first. The new 52, are you familiar with this at all?
No.
Because I brought up Batman.
Does it have anything to do with the fact that it is Quincy's birthday coming up, and he wants to know if we could get a birthday wish from us?
Oh. You want us to wish something for you?
Yeah.
Wasn't...
What do I wish for Quincy? Well, we gave him his first wish, which was Call of Duty.
Yeah.
We didn't have anything to do that, but he sent a thank you to us, even though it was just, he just wore down his parents.
Yeah.
And did the opposite of what we told him to do. But let's see. What do we wish for him in the new year?
I hope that he gets... hope he gets another sweet game. Like, if you like, maybe Battlefield... Or maybe Expanded Horizons, some sort of puzzle-based game.
Yeah.
I hope he gets a PS Move. That's what I wish for him.
Hope he moves into the Leisure Suit Larry category. Just trying Shabby to bag chic. Chicks. Just trying to bag chicks on video games.
That's sweet. So, the new 52. Mm-hmm. Are you reading?
I don't know what this is. I don't know what you're talking about.
So, DC Universe, and this I'm spiking off of my own
now I know.
Arkham Asylum.
Now I know.
They did their own reboot of it. Have you read any of the reboots on your iPad, iPod, iPlude, iPoosh?
I'm shaking
so,
my head.
My local comic book store over Thanksgiving weekend, whatever, 10 weeks ago, whenever that was in the reality of this episode, was doing a Black Friday sale that weekend, and they did half off trade paperbacks and then $1. You're right, because either way, it's like you're either in the red or you're in the black. Like, good thing we're not in the yellow with a pasty lady
face.
Well,
you'd never be in the yellow because they're so damn good at math.
Right? 8 times what is anything? .com.
I mean, let's be honest. The Asians invented Black Friday to cover their bottom line.
And math.
And to keep the black man down.
The Asians have imposed math on the rest of the world.
And
we were all happy not doing math.
Yeah. Your abacus didn't land on us. We landed on it.
I'm going to name my first
born
abacus.
Pretty sure I quoted that wrong.
Hey, abacus, get your sister Panene in here. Panene is spelled panini.
Yeah.
Panene and abacus.
With a hyphen.
Dude, those could be names of kids. There's no LaShawna.
I'm pretty sure. Okay, while you're doing, go back to what you're doing. I'm gonna look for somebody named Abacus on Facebook.
Abacus, man, can you count to 20 for me? Make me a sandwich, Panene. Oh man, Laquina, Ladasha. I told you about that one, right?
No.
Spelled L L. A and then a hyphen. No, L, a hyphen, and then an A, pronounced LaDasha.
There you go. Abacus Carroll.
Abacus? There she's a little white girl.
And lives in New Jersey.
Is Abacus actually a name? Are we being culturally insensitive?
I don't know. Her favorite quotes are, it's true that we don't know what we've got until we lose it, but it's also true that we don't know what we've been missing until it arrives.
Don't make fun of it. You can't stalk her. You leave Abacus alone.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything to her. I just found her.
Did Christine Chaffee come up there? Oh, Christina Clark. Oh, okay.
It's also Christian Clark.
How do you know Christine Chaffee?
I think we know the answer.
So anyway, the new 52. After playing Arkham Asylum, or playing through it, I was like, well, I want to pick up these $1 back issues, and they had a bunch of them. Apparently, they're not super popular. Maybe they were reprints. So I got JLA, Superman, and Batman, all number ones of the new universe.
JLA is Justice League of America?
Yeah. So I crack open the Batman because I was done playing Arkham that night, and I thought, well, this will be interesting because the whole idea, just to be clear, is that they're rebooting the universe to entice new readers to the thing. They had TV ads out.
So essentially in... like all these comics were created in the 40s,
30s. Right? Some of the numbers, like Action and Detective Comics, they are rebooting, and they've been on the same number since the 30s.
Right.
Like this is—it's a little sacrilegious.
And
in
so
a way.
The idea would be that, like, kind of like how Captain America makes sense because it was around the World War.
Exactly.
And, you know what I mean?
And they created the Ultimate Universe.
Time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you get the fun of having the origin of the superhero being done in your time. So
right.
You get to be the kid. Because that is part of, that's also, I think, kind of targeted at my demographic, because mm-hmm. I'm frustrated that I'm like, I want to have a comic book heroes start with me. But that isn't something weird and edgy.
Which is,
you know?
Which is funny, because that's kind of what the Muppets did as well. It's like they took Muppets and took it to the next generation.
Yeah.
But you know, Frank Oz and a bunch of old school Muppeteers would not participate in the movie because they didn't feel like it portrayed the characters the way they should have been. But I think that they, if you see the movie, like Kermit evolves as a character. He's been around for 40 years, for goodness sakes. He can evolve.
Well, so, and the same note, the Cartoon Network is redoing all the Looney Tunes cartoons. They call it the Looney Tunes Show. And it's actually funny. You go back and you watch these Looney Tunes cartoons, but then you get to see how comedy has evolved.
Yeah.
And you get to see these characters with their same personalities, but modernized in modern situations. Like, for instance, Bugs Bunny, he has the girlfriend, which normally would just be around when they're doing some opera, right, in the 50s. Now, it's like he's talking to Daffy, and then she's like, what's he saying?
They have a relationship, because that's interesting.
And,
yeah.
And they're doing, like, relationship humor.
That's
like,
great.
Like, she's doing the stereotypical, almost like a Friends episode.
Yeah.
She's being the annoying girlfriend. What is he saying?
Which is a little like Tiny Toons when that was on. But so this, I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, crap, I'm going to open up this Batman comic book, and they're going to retell me how Bruce Wayne became Batman. Like, I'm going to have to read once again about how the little kid's parents were shot down in an alley and the guy became Batman.
Cut to the first storyboard. I know what you're thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Close. So they don't do that. It starts out with Batman battling a bunch of villains, established villains. So Clayface, Riddler, everybody's there. Ivy, Mr. Freeze, a bunch of ones that I didn't know. Like, so not a reboot. Like, in the middle of the action right from the beginning. And so I was like, well, this seems weird. And
for a reboot.
For a reboot. Then I'm like, well, I mean, I knew the characters iconically, but then some of them I didn't get. I since went back and read at Wikipedia, and the concept is that it's about superheroes have shown up in the past 5 years, so that you're kind of getting, like, the second act of the story. So then, as he's fighting, the Joker bursts out of the cage, and he starts fighting with Batman. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then it cuts to later, and he's in the Batcave with the Joker with him, and I thought, okay, now this is a reboot. They're changing
it
around.
His hidden lair.
He's with the Joker for whatever reason. Now the Joker works with the Batman for, and I was like, now that's a story. I was so excited to read why the two of them, arch nemesis, would become working partners. There's some way to work it out. You could think of it. You can come up with a reason why.
But it feels a little on the nose.
Well, the creators would agree with you, because then Dick Grayson, who's Robin, hits a button and transforms back into looking like Dick Grayson, and he doesn't look like the Joker. He had like some holographic thing on that made him look like
the Joker. Oh, that's why the Joker.
Yeah. So that's why he was there. So then he walks out, he and Dick Grayson walk out, and it gives like little bubbles above everybody's head explaining who they are. So there's Dick Grayson, former Robin, currently Nightwing. Then there's whatever the next kid is, former Robin, now Red Robin. Then there's the youngest Wayne.
So they're rebooting, but they have all of the existing characters.
Nothing is rebooted. That's the only thing, because everything was the same. I was lost. I'm like, why are you listing all these, who has played Robin? Like, he's around three guys, all who have been Robin at some point.
So essentially what they're saying is, when we reboot Batman, we're going to give you, it's like what they did with the Green Lantern 101, the digital thing, where it's like it gives you an explanation of all the different colors and why they're there and who's who in that thing. Yeah. So it's really just like, hey, here's a quick I'm trying to think of the yellow, the Cliff Notes.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the Cliff Notes to Batman.
It's more like just continuity freeing themselves, being like, okay, story up to here, now nothing before him matters, and this is now the storyline moving forward.
Yeah.
Even though the characters are all the same. It's like everybody's the same. So then the story goes on, and Batman finds some guy that's been tortured to death and has left a clue that he solves, and it says, and they are able to pin it back on Dick Grayson. And now you're supposed to wonder if Dick Grayson, because he asks a question earlier that makes you think that he's a little crazier than he is, and like, oh no, maybe Robin's bad, and he's not going to be bad. He's been framed or some nonsense. So that was the first issue. I need to be fair, though. I read it last night, and I find myself thinking about it a lot. So I'll probably read issue number two just to prove that that Dick Grayson turns out to be okay. But then I read through all the all the 52s that have been rebooted. And my comic book dealer was like, it's not a reboot. And I didn't understand what that meant until now I've read it. I'm like, no, in about 4 years, they'll just put the numbers back to the numbers that they used to be. Marvel's done this with their own titles. After a title kind of catches back up with itself, then they'll just pour it back into their original volume, and they'll call it all the same series, and we'll be back to square one all over again.
I wish I understood more how they make money, because like, that just doesn't make sense to me at all.
Comics make money through new issues. And if the industry is selling, if people are buying new books, that means the industry is healthy. If people are only buying trade paperbacks or, heaven forbid, like books from the 80s or something or the 90s, that means it's a dead industry. So the comic book stores, that's why they're always interested in liquidating their stock, because it's about what's hot, what's the new issue, not what's sitting back on the shelves. And that's why the trade paperbacks are so helpful, because you spend so much time drawing these comics, and it's just, and then it just sits there, deteriorating on some shelf. No one ever sees it again. So now that they have it all digital, you can sell them.
It's a way to sell it again.
Exactly. It's like a rerun. I prefer the trade paperbacks, because I have all the new X-Men, all the Joss Whedon X-Men's in trade paperback, and not a single one of them in the regular form. And then they don't take up a crap load of space on my shelf, and they look cool. There's no ads. Mm-hmm. They're on a glossy print. They're much
nicer. It's a little bit thicker paper.
Yeah, it's good. It makes the artwork really pop. It's nice. That's the way to go. What was the other thing we were talking about? Oh, the article. So shifting gears slightly.
Yeah.
Unless you had something to say about comics.
No. The LA Times thing, is that what you're talking about?
No, we'll do that. We could start with that. Sure, read that. I'd be interested in your opinions.
This says, frequent gamers have brain differences, study finds. 14-year-olds who were frequent video gamers had more gray matter in the rewards center of the brain than peers who didn't play video games as much, suggesting that gaming may be correlated to changes in the brain much as addictions are. So it's essentially saying that there's an aspect of gaming that is addictive. But
it talks about it a little more. Essentially, the study is that they compared people who game against people who don't game. And they saw that the reward center of the brain for gamers was hyper-stimulated versus those who weren't. And it's that reward center of the brain is the same section that addicts are fed into, and why they keep coming back to their choice of addiction. And so their speculation is that the games are addictive by nature. And it made me think about reward trophies and little stupid crumbs that, like, PlayStation, Xbox, even my iPhone has it, where you earn trophies that are meaningless. Like, you don't see anything. It's just a little icon, a drawing shows up. But this drives gamers to play. I mean, people talk about it all the time, trying to get my platinum in this.
Yeah, I always want to see concept art and all that stuff.
Or just get a platinum. I'm working on my platinum in this game. Like, you are grinding away hours of your life just so some little icon can show up in your computer that maybe somebody else will notice, that you can maybe talk about. But it's working. Like, so the game developers, you got to give them credit. They've tapped into this, like...
This is interesting. They said, using functional magnetic resonance imaging, or an MRI... the team also observed changes in the kids' brains as they participated in a task that simulated anticipating and receiving a reward.
Mm-hmm.
They found that frequent gamers had greater brain activity when they were given feedback that they were losing. This is similar to a response seen in addicted gamblers, the authors noted, who have increased levels of the brain chemical dopamine in the ventral striatum when they are losing money. The authors wrote that their study is the first to correlate changes in brain structures with video gaming. They couldn't determine if the frequent gamers' brains grew larger as a result of playing video games, or if those kids were attracted to gaming because that part of their brain was enlarged in the first place.
Right, that was where they kind of talked themselves out of it.
Scientists will need to measure the effects of video gaming on the structure in the brain over time to figure that out. But either way, discovering the link between brain structure and video games could help researchers understand the role of the brain in addictive behavior. They wrote, if the striatal differences observed in the current study are indeed an effect of gaming, video gaming might pose an interesting option to explore structural changes in addiction in future studies in the absence of any neurotoxic substances. So instead, to break that down, is that they're saying that this means that they could use video games to understand addiction and treat it, as opposed to psychotics, that they call them, or essentially a brain drug.
That would be very interesting, to be like the patch, to be able to wean an addict off of something that can kill them, give them wow. But if you watch The Simpsons, you'll know that Marge Simpson is a borderline addict. She's had a number of episodes of being almost an AA member. She's in Gamblers Anonymous. And when she discovered Medieval Worlds, which is their World of Warcraft, she was addicted to it. So, there's stories of people that have left their children to die because they're off at the arcade playing WoW. They're not called arcades anymore, are they? What are they? What are the kids calling them now?
Cyber cafes?
Cyber cafes.
I think that's so what 2000. The story I know. That what yeah. you talk about is Korea.
Yeah.
A couple of kids. Ugh, that makes me sick. But anyway, and I also like the idea that...
to our Christmas music. I know. Children are dying.
Babies do die this time of year. That's an inside joke between me and Kevin.
We'll not, explain something.
Not a real statistic. needs to be clarified in a public forum. Anyway, that made me lose my train of thought. That I do think it's interesting that they start off, like, I think that this is what it is. It's like that thing that they say, oh, well, gaming can lead to violence. Well, it's like, no, violent kids are violent kids. And, like, this starts off trying to hint at the idea the games are creating addicts. Like, no, you could have been an addict beforehand, this gave you a channel for your addiction.
At our last gaming Saturday before my Bluetooth completely died on me,
we still have to troubleshoot that.
We'll do that tonight. Since my wife's leaving, I'll be here till 2. the karma. call Chris Carson. That's an old reference to another episode.
Oh, we're very good at this. Next year will be great, guys.
Yeah, exactly. This has been the test year. Year 4 is going to be the year that matters.
That's where we're really going to hit our stride.
Can't wait. We have to do our predictions, too, next week.
Oh, that's right.
Thing about the stuff. What was I saying? I was waiting for everybody, and I got synced up with somebody that I thought was a listener of the show, and he wasn't. He was just some kid. I don't know if I told you this. And if I'm wrong and you're listening, call me a jerk. But if you are listening, you were kind of weird, kid. Because I was uncomfortable playing with him. And he was overly enjoying the murder aspect of Red Dead Redemption. And I know it's a real thin line because I understand that I'm also participating. But I feel like as an adult that we have the ability to discern reality from fiction. And it's something that you and I have, Justin, have spent a lot of time getting angry at people who make fun of gamers and such. And I think to our peer group, if there are 30-year-olds living in the basement, those guys need to get their act together. But it did kind of check me in a way to realize that some of these game, the material in the game is subject matter that may not be appropriate for a 13-year-old to be exposed to. For example, I haven't played it, but it was in one of the Modern Warfare's, the first mission you go around just killing innocent people in an airport.
I didn't know that.
And to me, that's like, it's a little backwards. Like it's a little too... it's satanic. It's voyeuristic. And it reminds me of 9/11 when CNN was pumping all this information. This is great with this music. Pumping all this stuff about, you know, the terrorist attacks and how they got on the plane and what they did when they were on the plane. And there was I watched several articles where the news anchors were explaining, here's how you should approach this with your children and specifically with young boys because they can become obsessed with the minutiae of the terrorist attack. How they got away with it, how they did it, and see that more as like a challenge as it was really dealing with the true issue, which was that thousands of innocent people were murdered by these people. I'm not jumping horses midstream or anything. And I will always defend games as a viable medium.
I didn't
think
you were. I just had. There's so much that I have.
But there is a dark element access to gaming, and the fact that you're doing it yourself, like when you play Evil on Infamous, I feel bad about hitting somebody with a wrench or whatever, killing these people in a town that have done nothing wrong. And I know it's all fake. I know it's not real at all. But I do think that if I were younger. I wouldn't have done it because I had such a strong moral code. I thought when Sim City, when I first read that game, I thought it said Sin City, and I wouldn't play it for 3 years. Mm. I'm like, I don't want to play a game like that.
For 3 years. I can handle it in 3 years.
Yeah, when I'm a little old. Then somebody told me, it's Sim, you idiot.
And I can handle it in 2 more years.
Then. Yeah. When I'm a little older. But I do think that they're... if they do become a more viable media form, which I really do hope they do, especially these narrative-based games that we love so much, that not censorship will be involved, but that we as parents or we as adults will be able to articulate to the developers and to our children what is appropriate. And that just because you have the technology to kill, there's real reason why somebody couldn't make a Columbine video game. And I really don't want somebody to make one.
I guess play that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because here's my opinion on this whole thing is that no matter what it is. There are people who can handle things, and there are people who can't. Yeah. There are people who can handle having a drink, and then there are people who can't.
Sure.
There are people that go their entire high school years without having cigarettes, and then there are people that are that do. And then there are people within that subgroup that grow up to be smokers and unfortunately develop lung cancer and die a tragic death. Then there are people who smoke their entire lives and have four packs a day and have it never affect them, right? So in my opinion, it's, to me, I think you can't err to the least common denominator.
No, and so I'm not suggesting that.
I know you're not. I know you're not. I think I'm just, it's more like talking for talking's sake, but with a point, if that makes
any
sense.
As Evelyn would say, we're getting really NPR here. I love it.
Only we have energy and passion.
Yeah. and we're talking about things that matter. Bam!
Not jazz. But anyway.
That's not NPR.
I'm sorry, what? I don't know what you're listening to, but I'm misunderstanding their liberal agenda.
Wait, don't jazz me.
Lame trivia. Anyway, get those fellas from the East Coast back on there talking about their vehicles. I like it when they talk. They make funny jokes about their limousine driver's name. And all those Russian names when they make. I love it. Can't wait to give them $5 and get a mug. But anyway, my point is.
What is your point?
I don't have one. What do we have next? No, I'm kidding. I just think that it doesn't really matter. Because here's what it comes down to is that a kid who plays a game where you run through an airport as a terrorist and you kill people and that gets excited, there are multiple things going on there. There's probably a lot of genetics that's going on. And then there's also the fact that that there's some uninvolved parents or something.
Ding.
You know
there
what
it
I mean?
Is.
Something along that, those lines.
Absolutely. Because
then that leads to somebody who's like, you know what I want to do? I want to find a way to buy an AK and actually run through an airport, and that's on my bucket list. Now, there is nothing, no level that we could do that is going to stop evil things from happening.
No. I'm not suggesting that by playing these games it allows you to, it's not a gateway to really doing your reality.
No, yeah, exactly.
No, I do think that they're an outlet, but what I am suggesting is that it's a form of spiritual and emotional self-abuse by allowing yourself to, because I feel like when I play a game like DCU and I fly my character up in the air and then I let go of the flying button and he falls, I feel it in my body, this sense of falling, as I would if I were in a ride in Disneyland of me falling, even though I'm not really falling. And I think the same thing
I get very nervous when I have to climb high towers on Assassin's Creed. I do.
Because that's the
seeds
in
Uncharted, that's part of the thing that was exhilarating is that I have an issue kind of with heights.
That's okay. That's like an accepted amount of you can pause the game, walk away, and have this detachment.
But your point is that there is a connection.
Yes.
Be it that or be it, hey, I'm killing a random old lady feeding her 4-year-old daughter in an airport.
And we are experiencing that. Because I've never flown. I've never flown on my own capabilities into the sky. And then stopped and fallen to the ground and stopped. Exactly. But I know the sensation because I've experienced it in a game. And I think the same can be true if you're playing a game where you're murdering innocent people. You've never done it, but you would know the sensation and what it would be like because you've experienced it through consent.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
Are you being serious?
I believe.
But I think within the world of play acting, because is what you're doing when you're playing a game, is you're playing
because
that role.
Here's the reality. You honestly, I mean, I get your point, but you believe that you know what it's like because you don't actually know. In order to truly test this, we'd have to take you up into the stratosphere and let you go without a chute and then see how it felt. And then right before you go, you have to send a text saying, I was wrong or I was right. That's the only, you know what I mean?
No, I guess I should say I don't feel like I know exactly what it's like, but I have been exposed to that sensation in a way that I never would have had I not played the game. And I think that they're on the same level of degrees of reality. Because, I've been up really high on one of those stupid rides where they let you go and there's nothing holding you, and you free fall. And it's nothing like reality. But the sensation is there, and I do think that you have to be careful with what we're exposing ourselves to.
Because it affects you differently than, say, it affects me. Like, I could play Infamous, and I'm like, oh, I don't like the idea of being that person.
Yeah.
But I know, like, I have the disconnect, too, where I'm like, I know that the idea of killing these cops isn't really what I would do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just a part of a fake story. You know what I mean? So it affects you differently than what it affects me, right?
Right.
So that, to me, that very difference means that there is no way to say that, I guess it can work both ways, but that I'm not going to run through airports killing people and think, oh, my God, this is horrible. You know what I mean?
You'll think this is awesome.
Yeah, I would be like, this is hilarious that this is what I'm doing. I would honestly, like...
You're talking about in a video game or a reality?
I did it wrong. I want to do that. But anyway, in a video, like, and I would sit there and I would go, this is funny that this is a thing that people are entertained by. Like, yeah. That's the way I see it. You know, it's the same reason why I got a Playboy. I had no interest in Playboy mm-hmm. until they had the model that was representing Laura Croft in personal appearances, because I was curious as to see how they take this level of childish, eroticism, I guess, for lack of a better term, and how they make it actually erotic. Yeah, you know what I mean? There's a lot of suggested innuendo eroticism with Tomb Raider. How do you make it real pornography?
Yeah.
That's what would interest me. Now, if I'm running through this modern warfare and I'm killing innocent people in an airport, I'm going, what is this? What's the point behind this and who is into this or whatever? Yeah. But it's not going to affect me emotionally. I'm not going to find that connection. I don't buy that it really is going to even... Because here's the thing. I know that you're not disagreeing with me necessarily either, but I don't think... There's two things that I think come behind this, is that there are people who believe that that gives people the idea and it gives them the means to train.
I don't agree with that.
Which
I don't
is
agree
wrong.
With that.
Or that it also gives them the... There's also the thought process that it gives them an outlet that maybe that makes it safer because they could satiate that desire. Here's what I honestly think, is that regardless of what happens where, mm-hmm. no matter what, like, we live in a far less violent world mm-hmm. than what was even happening, say, 50 years ago.
We do, yes, but the rest of the world doesn't, but we do.
Okay, so even if we took the rest of the world, like, let's compare now. Like, our life compared to, say, what's going on in Afghanistan,
sure.
right? Something along those lines is that I don't like, no matter what happens, there are good, honest, mm-hmm. sweet-hearted people, generous people that live in Afghanistan. And then there are some really crazy, stupid people that sure. just want to do nothing but cut the heads off the squirrels for fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No matter what happens, there is going to be that. So
yeah.
And they're going to find that way. If video games didn't exist, there was never a game. Say they put a control on it and they said, you know what? That's not okay for you to pick up a hooker, use her services,
yeah.
and shoot her in the head as
right.
she leaves. That's not okay. We don't like that. It's not going to change anything. Yeah, that's right. Right here. It's not going to change anything, all right? I'm hitting the wrong dial. It's all it's going to make us do is want to wish we could do it. No, but you know what I mean? Like, I just feel
I hear you. What I will maintain, though, is that it is a stain on a person's innocence, is probably the best way I can put it, is that by participating in these things in our heart or in our mind's eye, it does change a person's perspective. Same thing as like watching an R-rated movie when you're 10.
But if it stains you, then I see that as a positive. You know what I mean?
Take it for what it is.
If you sit there and you look at it like, I'm running through an airport and I'm killing people and you're like, I don't like this, mm-hmm. then instead of it being like, why am I doing this? Why, like, I would say, then that means you're a good, decent person.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
No, that's great. And I guess what I'm trying to... I think we do have the same point, is that people do deal with it differently. So all I want to say is that it is not innocuous. And just because a game is fantasy doesn't mean that it doesn't have an effect on someone. Because just as you are able to disconnect, I know that there are kids all over the country that are playing this stuff that do not understand. And they're adults that do not understand that this is affecting them on an emotional level, on a spiritual level, and it is most likely leaking out into other avenues of their life because they have an improper balance of like a diet that is lopsided.
I feel like your explanation means that the game, though, is causing that, and I guess what I'm trying to say is that the real root of mm-hmm. the cause is genetic and your upbringing.
And I would agree. And what I'm saying is that to your point, there are people that are alcoholics mm-hmm. and they can never have a drink, mm-hmm. then I think that it's the same level. The game has the potential of being a drug or an alcohol or whatever else that can really damage someone's life. That it isn't just some innocuous thing like hanging out or, I don't know, what people try to say. Like, it's just fantasy. Like, but it has the potential of being very devastating to some people.
So, and I know that for the obvious reason, because it is reality based, mm-hmm. right? But it's like, but so then say we don't have that. So then it's like, now you have people who are angry about turtle violence in Mario. Like, why are you throwing
that was all a joke,
flame balls, you know what I mean, at turtles, you know, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. It's like, no matter what,
there is a thing where you could be like, well, this is a little out of hand.
Yeah, no, I'm not suggesting censorship. All I'm saying is that it is something that needs to be monitored, either by the individual or if they have a parent, that the parent needs to be monitoring the game intake. And I would say the same thing with movies. I would say the same thing with music.
That's my point. My point is that the monitoring is burning unnecessarily calories. The energy that should be placed in monitoring that should be placed in preparing people to raise good people.
I'm saying the parents. Like, you would want to, if you saw Jacob playing a game or watching a show, that when he was done with it, there's something that was more violent about him, or maybe something that put him in a sour mood, or he was more quiet, because you could see that it would upset him. And I've talked to parents that are like, they watch Avatar the Airbender, and he's like, he loves the show, and then he would feel bad about himself because it was so heavy in the Eastern philosophies and it didn't jive with what he understood of the world, that he would just feel bad about himself and feel guilty for watching it. And I think that parent could stop and go, okay, well, let's either I'm going to watch this with you, or let's talk about it. I'm not suggesting that something should be cut out, just that these are potentially very heavy weapons.
What you're doing is you're taking the idea of saying awareness,
yes,
right, and you're applying it to a specific moment within games or any form, yeah, of entertainment.
Exactly.
So we are saying the same thing in the sense that what you're not necessarily saying that the entertainment is making or breaking anything,
no,
but that to treat it as if it's nothing. So I,
yes,
guess what I'm saying is that a parent who treats it as if it's nothing is a disconnected parent that's going to make a crap head, a should head,
right,
of a person,
or
anyway.
Or a parent that doesn't get games. I don't know what he does. I just let him. He wants this game really bad.
Right.
I don't. Or like Quincy. Was it Quincy whose parents were fighting him for the game?
To play Call of Duty.
When they may have been fighting him for the wrong reasons, and maybe he has this ability to disconnect fantasy.
Right, which
from
is
reality.
Why we said give them an opportunity to see the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Try to get them to understand what's fun about it, what's appealing about it, and if you plead your case in a mature way, then I think it makes a difference.
Exactly.
Because then you've shown you can handle it.
And then they get the chance, as the kid's parent, to say, oh, well, I know you, and yes, you can play, yeah, an army-based game, or no, do you see how these gruesome things are happening? How,
yeah,
are you going to feel about that?
I think an example that hits closer to home for me is that, like, I have a relative that was young and a young girl, and she was posting things on Facebook that were of... had sexual innuendos,
mm-hmm,
and her parents were none the wiser.
Yeah.
Had no idea what was happening, had no idea what was going on, and in my opinion, I don't care. I mean, I don't look at it and go, oh my God, she's never going to have a job, and she's not going to I don't think
right?
that crap. I think, you know what I mean? She's going to live on the streets forever. I think, well, when my kid's that age, I'm going to always be aware of that kind of thing,
exactly,
which I think is exactly what you're saying.
Yep,
is that I will at least take an interest in what they're doing so that I know that I'm involved and I'm invested and I'm participating in their life to make a good person, to make a person who could contribute to society.
Ding.
Boom.
So that took us 27 minutes,
mm-hmm,
to finally agree on the point that games are important.
And an important part of our education system. They're
could
green.
You imagine if teachers would, if the PTA or a teaching program got a hold of games like Oregon Trail, but everything, how much better I would have learned history, I would have learned reading, or if I had a controller in my hand and they're like, okay, here's the story of building the pyramids, or even something less interesting, like the formation of the 13 states. Okay, play this adventure out, get it right, and you've learned it. Get it wrong, and you fail the game, and
yeah,
you don't, and you haven't learned. I would have taken to every course more if they had put a controller in my hand and taught me something.
Is this Firefly?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's nice. Good ear.
Yeah, I think, and it's another, I don't know why I feel like I'm being such a devil's advocate, but it's what pops into my head, is that I do think, though, that for... there are more people who lend themselves to the way that things are being done,
yeah,
than there are people like you and I who,
yeah,
would appreciate being able to sit down and having a game like, say, an Assassin's Creed, like where I'm saying that if everybody, I feel,
yeah,
that if it truly was everybody across the board was like, if you let me play a video game that teaches me about World War II,
yeah,
and is more not just about the action of it, like a little bit of action, but also like has lessons in it, you know, mm-hmm, built into it, then that would mean I would be much more invested,
yeah,
in history than what I was, kind of thing. But I think that we are the minority, that the people that listen to the show, because if this concept, say, was, right, if this was the majority of people in the world, or even in this country, let's say, then that means that this podcast would be one of the highest rated podcasts, because it would be the most sought after topic in the world. But it's weird, because it is mainstream within media and entertainment, but it's still a subculture considered.
But see, I still think that my point is that the people are not tapping into the full potential of the medium. And I'd say the same thing about comic books. What name a comic book?
Let's go Batman.
See, exactly. Name another.
Green Lantern.
Name another.
Superman.
Name another.
Spider-Man.
All of these are superheroes.
Yeah.
Comic books are not superheroes. There's maybe two comic books that have tried to be anything other than costume superheroes, with supervillains and superheroes fighting.
Like, I guess Walking Dead, but that's still, there's heroes involved in it. Like, it's supernatural.
Comics are like the most amazing medium for telling a story, because they're pictures and words together simultaneously. I mean, the things that happen in a comic, you cannot duplicate in any other medium. And yet, the only thing that sells in them are superheroes, because that's the only thing that people accept them on. Imagine instruction.
That's how they started.
Exactly.
They're being typecast.
Imagine instruction manuals. Imagine textbooks in a comic book form that are essentially just diagrams with voice bubbles. Having a comic book of a lecture of teachers, I would have learned so much more if a guy was telling me, like, this is Gettysburg, here's a picture of Gettysburg. As a visual learner, I would have been able to see that and then remembered it. They could have put the same wall of text that's written. They could have chopped it down and just done facts, because as a person could have been narrating it on a comic book, and I would have learned it so much quicker.
But do you think people would believe that General Lee was dropped in a vat of toxic waste, and that's why he got the superpower to try and lead the Southern Army, only to its ultimate demise?
You have such patience. You had that joke.
You know, you what waited. I had it chambered for? It was the instruction manual. Nice. I was going to do an IKEA couch, and an Allen wrench fell in some toxic waste.
Exactly. Yeah. Same sort of thing. And I think the same thing is true with games. I think both of these mediums are being pushed into a corner and being said, these are for kids, this is for entertainment value only. And people try to make educational games or try to do educational comics, and they just end up being stupid and lame, because the wrong people are developing it. The people that
the people that are interested in developing good comics aren't interested in being educated.
Exactly. And the same thing's wrong with Christian artists. Like, you heaven forbid you let a Christian artist make anything, because it's always crap.
That'd be cool.
And then the Christians that are...
Because even when they are, when it looks like it's cool, it looks like it's trying so hard
exactly.
to be cool.
And then the Christians that are working
What's
in the industry...
Newsboys? Is that what they are?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
They're like the Backstreet Boys of Christian yes. pop music. And I stage managed a concert for the last 3 years that I was at Great America working there, and they would come through. And I was just like, well, why not be your own thing? Like,
exactly.
You literally look like you're trying to be White Boys to Men. Like, that's exactly what you look like. Why not just be your own thing and be what's cool to those people?
It's so common. They have a whole chart.
Quit trying to be mainstream and just be you.
You like AC/DC, you'll like Petra.
Yeah.
They have a chart. That's you can great. Go into Christian music stores, bookstores, and they'll show you, oh, if your kid wants to listen to this kind of music, have them listen to this
I'm
artist.
I'm on the highway to faith.
Instead of... just something being what it is. And I think the same thing is true. With the mild exception of The Learning Company, they've produced a few games that are educational and entertaining at the same time, but right. still not too great.
You saved me all night long.
The Simpsons did that with Kindly Deeds, Done for Free. Kindly Deeds, Done for Free.
That's funny.
So I look forward to the revolution of games. I think it's too late for comics. Maybe someday somebody will be like, you know what, I want to do a textbook in a comic book form or do some entertainment.
I do think that'll happen, because it's becoming, like just think, within the last, what's the first, like, other than, I guess, well... But I feel like Superman, right, was the first comic book based successful film in mainstream.
And that was like 50 years after the fact. Yeah. I mean, but there were, it had a lot of iterations.
And it's within the last 30 years, and then there was nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was nothing. There was some TV shows
and
everything. But
you're talking
about
Superman or in general?
No, I'm talking about comic books. Like,
in the 90s, there were a few.
Movies.
A few movies.
The Batman became the movies, but even those became, they were still campy.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, but
like,
they haven't.
I feel like now, I feel like this last decade.
Well,
right
now, superhero movies are the hottest
That's
thing.
That's the best
it's
thing.
It's like science fiction in the late
like,
70s.
Seriously, they made a Green Lantern movie. Other than Aquaman, there is no less interesting Super Friend.
I disagree.
Super Friend, nice.
Well played.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I watched the cartoon. I'm like, why is that guy flying around with a freaking ring?
I don't know. I think
it's
cool.
Just him and Aquaman that they're like, we have a quota. And we need at least six.
Aquaman is one of the new 52, by the way. BT
I believe it. But my point is that it's like.
Oh, and Superman wears blue jeans.
Sorry, what?
In the new 52. Superman looks like your son dressed up and going to school or, you know, hanging out with a Superman T-shirt and blue jeans.
Smallville, what have you done?
And a cape.
What have you done?
And he's young. It's so bad.
So every day is casual Friday for
exactly.
Superman in the new 52?
Exactly, yeah.
That's not the way the first 50 would have liked it. You know what I mean? Or the 13, whatever it is. Anyway, shut up.
I want to read that textbook.
So anyway... And that's what I mean. It's like that's how deep they're going. Is that they're making that, you know? And I think like even the idea of The Walking Dead, which is it's originally a graphic novel that this guy ran into. He's like, you know what? I'm going to go to a comic book store for some ideas. And the guy who ran the comic book store was like, you should check this out.
Yeah.
And then
he's
like, oh, let's turn this into a television show. And he contacted the creator, and boom, now it's a hit show on AMC that everybody loves, right? So now that we're there, I think that we have to go through this era. Like, it's like what they talked about in that documentary we discussed about the DC universe, is that once it gets to a point where people who were fans of what's being made now are the ones who are making it, that's what has to happen in order for it to go to the next
level. That's a fair point, because cartoons are seeing that revolution. And in a show like The Simpsons really helped 20 years ago, 25 years ago nearly, you know, got on primetime like the Flintstones did, but had a little better strategy behind it. And now we're seeing, you know, Adult Swim and an Adult Swim network and cartoons aimed towards man children, if we're honest, like men that haven't grown up.
I laugh like a man child. Yeah,
exactly. but there is like more intelligent, more thoughtful, deeper cartoons, and I could see them going even further. I mean, Toy Story 3, for what it's worth, is still like a deep story. I think that movie will stand the test of time.
No, they took a kid's movie, and they made it into a solid like story movie.
It deals with a heart issue that I think just about every human in America has experienced, of like that pain of growing up, of letting go of your that's what the heart of that movie is about, is learning to transition from child to man. That's a classic, so we've been telling that story forever, and they just so happen to do it with Mr. Potato Head. But it's well done, and I could see in 50 years, that movie will be shown in film classes, and Avatar will not even be a side note. It'll be referenced in like computer development. And like, oh,
this is shiny.
Yeah, exactly. They did a really good job. This made this much money, and it had a new groundbreaking 3D technology. And then eight paragraphs of Toy Story 3.
No, this is how it's going to go in the future. This is the inspiration for how we live now.
Here on Unobtainium 9. This is a much better episode than last week. So bring up, did you have anything more to say about educational games, comic books, anything?
No. Give us a call, 402. What?
No, there's not
sorry,
there's more. The thing I've been wanting to talk about for 2 weeks, we've got to get to it.
Oh, boy.
So read that. Hey, I have so many games I want to talk about. I'm so mad we didn't get to this last week.
The next gen?
Yeah, next gen. This makes me angry.
Oh, boy.
Get to it.
This comes to us from GameSpot.com. It appears next-generation console rumors are coming to a consensus. Edge Today reported that Ubisoft, Electronic Arts, and
Ubisoft.
I'm sorry, what?
Ubisoft.
Never correct me on here. Another unspecified major...
Do you realize you had to correct me on air?
Another unspecified major developers are developing games for the successor to the Xbox 360 with a late 2012 launch expected. According to the site... What was it again?
Ubisoft.
Montreal and certain EA studios, is in quotes like it's sarcastic,
right,
are working on games with Microsoft provided... Target boxes that use off-the-shelf computer parts matching the planned specifications for the company's next console. The first legitimate dev kits, or development kits is what that's short for the system are expected to be provided to developers by the end of this year. The given late 2012 release window lines up with rumors from last week that peg the next Xbox is launching in the holiday season next year.
Edge also provided a corroborating take for another next generation rumor that had been floating around, this one about Sony's next PlayStation. Last month, rumors circulated that Sony had begun work on PlayStation 4 games, a notion backed up by Edge's report that one major Sony-owned studio has now ceased PlayStation 3 development to work on the next console from the electronics giant. So why does this make you angry?
2012, Christmas, that when this song is playing next year, they expect me to buy an Xbox 720 or 48 or whatever, and a PlayStation 4.
But it's been, what, 6 years or more?
And here's my point. They have been promising these interactive alternate controller games since E3 2 years ago, and we still...
You're talking about Kinect and PlayStation.
Yeah, we have still yet to see a game that actually delivers on the potential ability of these accessories.
Have you seen that you could wield a lightsaber in first-person view?
When does that game even come out?
I don't know.
And it's on rails. I mean, there's so many games that I played Medieval Move. I played the demo. I'm going to get it. It looks fun. But the game is on rails.
It's such a nerd moment.
Yeah,
this is stupid. I mean, I'm going to buy it.
I'm going to get it. But my point is that they still have yet to figure out how to make the game work. It was fun.
So your real issue is that why are you developing a new cool thing when you have yet to mine your existing
thing? So I assume that means that if anybody that works at either one of these places is listening to my little nerd rant,
and
they'll tell you.
Are.
They probably are. They'll tell me, well, you're an idiot because these things are not selling. This isn't where the horse is running. It's about the technology and it needs to move
forward.
We
talked about it when we talked about it. Idiot. but that the it's really those are for part-time gamers really
so
right now.
My question is, will my accessories that I paid half the price of my console for be able to be used on the... Are you expecting me on my Xbox 720 to drop an additional $100 and whatever on Kinect 2? Or is that going to be integrated into my Xbox?
Well, that depends, Mr. Miller. Do you want it to be amazing or do you want it to be antiquated?
Exactly. Well, I don't know. How would Kinect 2 be any better? I guess you could develop smaller cameras, and the thing is giant.
No, there has to be something associated with the next generation that makes it better than this one.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Well, because here's where there's enough nerd rage built up that if you are literally just giving us a different console because the technology can't make anything better, like the processing is pretty much the same, you know what I mean? Like maybe there's less load time, and that's really what you're making me drop an extra $400.
And I don't agree with that. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then everybody's going to be like, why? And then you're going to try and force us because all the new games are going to be developed. Here's what's going to happen. There's going to be somebody like, and I think, you know who I think is similar, and I forget his name, but the guy who made Psychonauts and Brutal Legend seems to be a guy who's like, you know what, we make games because we like to, and you know, and that's why they're good. Like they're really good games, and that somebody will stand up and say, you know what, we're going to give you what you want.
Yeah.
And then that's going to cause a revolution within the industry, and then everybody's going to follow suit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that will be called the JK box.
And this press release could honestly just be something, these rumors that are being circulated could possibly be them just dipping their toe in the water to say, well, let's see what kind of internet buzz gets created when if everybody's like, thank God, finally you're making a new PlayStation. I hope that it will do this.
You know
what I mean? I hope my headset will work on DC Universe Online. I'm saying this might be some problems that some people are having.
Or all of us.
But you know what I mean? Like that. If that's the thing, then they're like, oh, then now we do this and now we know. Yeah. Like it's their own little market survey. But if everybody's like, if everybody has your opinion, like the internet becomes overwhelming with that, then all it takes is some press secretary type person to come out and go, I don't know where these rumors started, but we are more interested in mining the new technology of PlayStation Move, and then Microsoft's going to be, we are interested in mining the new technology of the Kinect.
That seems a little 1984, though. That seems like there's a big media conspiracy behind
all
of this.
You're an idiot if you don't believe it.
I also am wearing my foil hat. Well, I hope maybe you're right. I feel like they'd be more willing to spend money on it with test marketing as opposed to just getting ranting.
I guess what I'm saying is that I really don't think that they would do that
if
the majority of us aren't gnawing it and chomping at the bit to get it.
Yeah.
Now, there might be a thing where it's like, I want to see what you could do, but they better have something.
And the truth is that even if they do release it, There's no way a new console is coming a year from now. Like, yeah. I feel like we would have heard about it. And unless at E3, I could be
That's
wrong.
That's the part that makes me feel like it's a buzz generator.
Yeah, because we, if we come, but I feel like at E3, it's always two. I mean, they saw the Kinect, we saw the DS, the 3DS, two E3s before it came out. So I feel like if we do go, that this year at E3 of 2012, they'll show it and say this will be out in 2013 for the holiday season. And by then I'll be like, okay, now you've given your run, everybody's had a
And
system.
The psychology of it makes sense because isn't there a lot of, hey, let's build up some excitement.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we're going to take it away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And guess what? We can't get it yet.
Not yet.
And so you create anticipation. The whole idea, yes, you create this anticipation because I'm like, well, whatever they're doing, they're working hard to make it the best.
Right, yeah.
Because they were like, you know, we said we were going to get out by this time. But, you know, it wasn't the way we wanted it. So we're going to go back and we're going to do it again and we're going to get it right this time.
Yep.
You know, that kind of thing. So I don't know. Like, I agree with you. I think that for us to be, other than little small rumors, and I don't know, it's not like this is on CNN, obviously, but I mean, I don't know.
And isn't the Xbox off-the-shelf dev kit a fascinating thing? That's the most interesting part about Microsoft's system or their business model is that you and I could right now go build an Xbox 4 or Xbox 3, whatever it is, out of parts off the shelf. It'll probably cost us $4,000 because they're going to be the highest end models. But that's the interesting thing to me is that stuff exists. So you could, then that's your console.
You could custom make it, yeah.
You could make it, but that's not how the Xbox works. So I played Medieval Moves, and like so many of these alternative controller interactive, you are the controller games, it's on rails, which means that you do not control the character. It's like an arcade game.
Control individual movements.
Yeah, like the Red Dead, or not Red Dead, but House of Dead or any of those
Time
old arcade
Crisis.
Games, yeah, where you just have a gun and your character
Area
moves.
51.
And it's very, yeah, it feels old and it feels incredibly limiting because I'm like, I wouldn't make that choice. I wouldn't go up these stairs. I wouldn't go around. Why am I doing this? Why did I run over this corner of the room?
Why am I running into a house that is filled with zombies?
Exactly. Well, there's like a gallery. It feels like a shooting gallery. And Medieval Moves does it well. And it's only $40. In the demo, you get to play for the first, I don't know, 15 minutes. And you get all three weapons right at the top, which is pretty great. You have a sword and shield. You have a bow and arrow. And then you have a launcher, to like a grappling hook. And they all work different. They all work seamlessly with each other. It knew what I was doing the moment I wanted to do it. It didn't like freak out or panic, or I had the bow and arrow up when I'm trying to hit the sword. And the secret, I think, to that game, if it does sell anything, is that they have an enemy that you want to fight. Like, they're all the town is being overridden by these skeletons, and they're cool looking, and they're a little cartoony, but it's fun. And it all comes back to, it's like Angry Birds, and why that game succeeded is because you can attach to the characters. You think the Angry Birds and the pigs are fun, and you like getting those stupid
noises.
Pigs. Yeah, and that's what this game is. It's fun. It's cute. You got these little bone creatures that are fun to kill, and you beat them up and you're like, hey, I got a couple of the bone guys. So I hope that game does well, and I'll probably pick it up pretty soon.
See, and that's also why I think why they're not mining more out of these new controlling systems is that it's like what we talked about when we first started talking about these, is that I do think that that's really designed for party-type games.
See, this one isn't. And same thing with the Link game or Legend of Zelda. That's a first-person wield your sword Wii controller. And the Wii U is coming out, and they've been talking about this stupid Zelda game for 2 years, and it's finally on shelves. And it's like, now the Wii is closing its curtain, and this game finally showed up on the market.
What are we going to do then next year when they do have the 720 Xbox and the PlayStation 4.
First of all, I'm going to say, why did you call it the 720? It's a terrible name.
Why?
It's like Entertainment 720. Yeah, exactly. They will come up with another
game. Maybe
that's
why. Maybe Microsoft is sponsored of Parks and Rec. Yeah,
maybe. Everybody that thinks the Xbox is going to be called 720, you're wrong. So they will not call it the Xbox 720. I will stake my name on it. I will become a Kevin Miller if they call it Xbox 720. There is no way they will call it Xbox 720.
Mm. What do you think they'll call it?
Oh, something like Xbox Dragon or Xbox Core, something like that.
Yeah.
It'll be some name. Like everything, PS Vita. It will not be PS4. It'll be PlayStation first.
Which reminds me, because they're still making money off of these consoles, but now what they're doing is they're bundling them. Like, now you can get your Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, Xbox.
Which makes it a great Christmas present, right? Because you can get the whole thing.
And you get the theme, and that's what people are
dropping. Well, the one I'd get is the Xbox Disneyland Connect bundle. That game, I don't think it exists, but that was my segue. Have you played it at all?
No.
Of course, because you don't have the Kinect. I bought it because we were babysitting. And
I don't know why I sounded angry at you. No.
I know. Like, I'm sorry, bro. Well, I got it to babysit as an excuse because I really didn't. I wanted it. I just didn't want to wait 2 months. But it's pretty stupid fun. Like, if you like Disneyland...
It just gives you the ability to go to Disneyland.
Kind of. The weird thing right off the top is that you cannot play as an adult. The game is built for you to be a kid at Disneyland. And parts of the gameplay...
Based on how tall you make your character, are there certain rides you can't ride?
No, but that'd be great. But you can change the race of your character at any moment in the game. And the sex. You just put both arms in the air and change it. But it is the best Kinect game... I think that exists, period.
That's funny.
Because you, like, the moment you turn it on, it's like hands-free, literally. If you played a lot of Kinect games, you have to do that weird, you have to move your hand around, and you have to be very specific where it is. It just says, step up to play. And you walk up, and it's like, broom, welcome. And then it signs you in with your face, bam, and you're off to the park, and you're automatically playing.
You're eating churros like a champ.
And the integration of, like, I really did... It's seamless. Like, I forgot that I was trying to move this thing around. And the moving through the park can be a little cumbersome because you kind of have to do this, like, jogging thing. But then after a while, you figure out you just stick your hands out and you can kind of, like, steer your avatar. But there's essentially two elements to the game. One, where you can explore the park. And if you've never been to Disneyland or you love it, it's a great spend of your money because they do a really good job of replicating the park inside of a game. Mm. I mean, it's not as incredible as it would be if you were really there, but it down to the bricks on the ground, down to the tile work on the buildings, down to the signs.
Is it busy?
No, that's the part that's an absolute lie, is that it's like people are just milling out, hanging around. And it's funny because they do the thing that games do where a character will walk one way and then just turn and walk the other way for no reason. So you'll be walking and somebody will just turn around and walk into you.
Who's
like,
the first AD that is directing these actions?
move out of the way. So that's pretty fun. And then there are things you can do. You can take pictures of characters. I find myself actually trying to collect because you can interact with the characters. You can get them to hug you, dance with you. And then eventually you can take pictures with them. And then I haven't done
it
yet.
Punch them and get thrown out of the park.
Yep. And then your game melts in your Xbox.
Oh, wow. That's a consequence.
You can get a magic wand where you can make almost anything animated within the park. I've read and seen in the demo. I haven't been able to do it yet. But then the rides are like a whole nother part. And they're incredibly detailed. So you go on, like, the Matterhorn, and it says it's in three chapters, and once you've unlocked it, then you can just play it the whole way through. But I thought it was just going to be, you know, like an arcade game where I'm ducking this way or ducking that way. And sure enough, the first thing I do is I go on a bobsled, and the whole game is just me in my living room ducking right, leaping through the air to jump over obstacles. But then in Chapter 2, I have a snowball fight with the Bottomless Snowman. So I'm launching...
It's not just a recreation of the ride.
Exactly. No, it's very, like, inspired by the ride. And then in Chapter 3, I'm back... We're trying to escape the Abominable Snowmen and an avalanche on skis. So you're doing sloshing through, and the faster you push, the more jumps you do and that kind of thing. And it told, like, a little cute story by the end of it, and you get awards and stuff, and there's hidden Mickeys that you have to collect. Pirates of the Caribbean was pretty great, but the best ride in the park is the Jungle Boat. And you just go around on the Jungle Boat and you shoot.
Stupid jokes?
Yeah, they do. They steal some from the ride. And then you shoot water and stuff. It's a great Kinect game, hands down. Even if you're not in love with Disneyland, it helps. But it'll still be the best Xbox game
or
the best Kinect game.
So what I'm picking up is that if you're not head over heels in love with Disneyland... Mm-hmm. That it's worth picking up at a used bin maybe 6 months from now.
No, if you have a Kinect and you want a game to work with your Kinect, it's the best one on the market. I'd consider picking it up now. If you love Disneyland, absolutely pick it up now. I would probably be willing to pay $40 for the game. That would be... That's what I would wait out for. But
it's retail at 60?
Yeah, it's retail at 60. So... No, it retails at 50. It's lower. Most of those games are less... Like Medieval Moves is $40. It's worth about 35.
There we go. We did it. Did we get through everything in your list?
Let me check. It's just so much going on. Oh, I closed that program.
Why?
DCU, Medieval Moves, Disneyland, alternative controllers, next-gen consoles. Wow, we did it all.
Well done.
This has been a good episode.
Well, we don't do emails. We don't have to... That's not... I didn't... I didn't want it to sound like I was crapping on emails, but...
No. We actually do a show.
Yeah, exactly. That was my point. Thank you. Give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com, where we will answer it once a month.
Next week. Next week, call in live.
Yeah, we're going to do a live view stream. We'll announce the day and all that
stuff.
We'll
put that on the Facebook. Can you put it on the webpage? I guess it doesn't matter. Nobody looks at the webpage.
Yeah, they can't. Maybe they do. You don't know what they do.
Hey, do you listen to the webpage? Let us know on the Facebook.
Yeah, don't send us an email, because we won't look at that crap. No, I'm kidding.
And now I read the emails.
Remember Kevin's impassioned speech about using Amazon last week? Well, do that.
Yeah.
What else?
Can we replay that speech real quick?
Yeah, sure. Let me just pull that up. The other thing, too, is I keep forgetting is that I think there's a link on there for Electronic Arts. I don't even know how they got there. I know how they got there. I put it up there. But I don't know what they do for us. But there you go, EA. Get in the game, guys.
EA, get in the game. Yeah. Buy us some games.
Keep telling everybody we grew like a ton of people. Like, we're above 500 people on the Facebook page.
Twitter.
So thank you guys for finding the show. Thanks for spreading the word about the show.
Tweet
us.
If
you want to be able to tell all your friends, remember you can go to secondfunniestpodcast.com. You could share your favorite episode on Facebook. You can email your favorite episode to an email list of some kind. And then you could get them put on some kind of like spam list. It's awesome.
Yeah, get the word out there that this is the most professional show in the podcast realm.
Yeah, right? Like, we care about production.
Really important.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're also always entertaining.
So much planning, and it's nothing but video game talk. It's not to mention we're freaking hilarious. On behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying, okay, bye.